The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mast.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B. Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mast.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell it for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Mr. Kraft, I've been pushing, can we open stadiums successfully? I've talked to the head of the Yankees. I've talked to so many different owners. People go through these turnstiles that take temperatures. If you want to go to the game, you got to wear a mask. Drink your beer through a straw. It's inconvenient. You do it for other people. It's proven safe in New York for those that did this diligently. Your thoughts?
Well, we're preparing to hopefully play football this fall. We're working hand in hand with our union. We believe we've developed protocols that allow us to do it in a safe way, looking out first, you know, for our players and our personnel, and then, of course, the fans. And yeah. I believe we can do it.
The NFL's, but the least of the NFL's problems is the Players Association. Like, as usual. Since when have they had to really legitimately worry about the Players Association? Baseball, they got to worry about the MLBPA. The MLBPA may just blow the whole thing up and not accept what they put in front of them and, you know, destroy the whole season. That's entirely possible in baseball. Entirely possible. In football, not a shot. There's no way they give up a game check. But I do want to ask you this. Should the NFL push back their season? Should they push it back? Especially if we are going to have Stanley Cup hockey playoff games August into September, NBA Finals games August into September. Do we need the NFL to start on, I think it's September 10th, or Patriots would start September 13th? Do we need that?
No.
I'd like that.
Yeah, look, I'm okay with them pushing it back if, you know, if the idea is... Well, particularly if we have the other sports. Let me just tell you, if all those other sports dry up, then I would say the sooner football can get back on the field, the better. But do we need it to start in September? No. They have a little bit of runway there. As long as they come back and they play their season, I think we're okay with it.
I still think you'd be talking about maybe a shortened season if you start in October. And I just want, I don't know, I'd want that to be as normal as possible, even if that means without fans. I'd like them to start on time. It's the king of the sports. Like, the other sports can suck it. Once they start, that's the one that I think most people focus on.
Okay, but if it's still, so I'm with you, Murray. If it means canceling games, forget about it. No. I'm not canceling games. But if I'm playing, you know, playoff games in late January, February, and the Super Bowl at the end of February, you know, what's the harm there?
Yeah. I don't know. It's just me being picky. I'd rather have, you know, some semblance of normalcy there. But if it's still, we're talking full schedule and it's off by 3-4 weeks tops, like, fine. I'm not going to kick and scream about it. But anything beyond that, if you're starting the season in November, that's stupid.
No, I don't. Why? I mean, this whole thing's stupid. Why is it stupid? What do you care?
Because then it's still like you end up altering the following season too. So now you're pushing what, the draft next year? All the off season's going to be
not really,
not necessarily though.
No, not at all.
Look, we know that there is a, you know, there's a window built in there with the Super Bowl now, based on the reporting that came out a few weeks ago, that they can bump the Super Bowl back. And so if that allows them to get the rest of the season in, and they, you know, start a month later, 2 months, like, at the end of the day, I would, you know, I'm okay with the NFL bumping it back, particularly if it means if they're able to preserve the entirety of the season.
Right? Now, frankly, like, I could do with the arrogance. This is really what I want. I've had enough change for a lifetime in the last 3 months. So I would like for them to be arrogant a-holes about it and say, no, we're starting when we normally start. And everyone that's complaining about it can go F themselves.
Well, that's the plan so far. But they also gave themselves that contingency in the schedule where the first 4 weeks, everybody goes home road, you know, 2-2. And there's no division games in weeks 3 and 4. And every team that you play in week 2 has the same bye. So they've built in, really lopping off, and I won't say lopping off, you know, back ending, if you will, the first 2 or 4 weeks. So this is already their form. And if they lop off 4 weeks, I just looked at this today. If they lop off the first 4 weeks and start with what would have been week 5 and start on Sunday, October 18th, and they want to start with their traditional Thursday night game. The Thursday night game for week 5, October 15th, is Brady, Chicago, is Buccaneers at Chicago. Now that's, you know, usually they want the Super Bowl champion there and blah, blah, blah. But that's not a bad way to kick off your season. So, I mean, I wonder if that was intentional. It probably was, given the way that they handled that first 4 weeks and gave themselves the options to put those games at the beginning, at the end, and backload them, and then just start the thing in week 5. And if you start in week 5, the Thursday night game is Tom Brady. So I wonder if that's, you know, to me, if, let me tell you this, if hockey and basketball does come back, as it looks like they're going to come back, playing finals games into September, then yeah, hell yeah, push the NFL back, lengthen my calendar, give me more length, give me more, fill in the gaps. And so coming back next year, Maz, February, March is covered. Like, that's it. February is usually the black hole. Like, that you fill that gap, that's nice. That's a whole nother month of content. I will absolutely take that.
Yeah, you'd like more length, wouldn't you?
I need it.
Yeah, so look, again, I mean, to me, it works on multiple levels, because I think the NFL's, you know, they have the greatest flexibility and have from the very beginning of this whole thing because of the time they have. And so if they have to spill into early spring next year, call it, to make that work. See, Murray, I don't think they really do affect their calendar. Maybe the offseason starts a little bit later, but OTAs, training camp, all that stuff could still go on time. There might be a little bit more of a squeeze there than usual. Now, look, if you push it back to December, now you've got a problem, I think. Now there starts to be a ripple effect, and you've lost, you know, 12 weeks of the season or whatever it is, then it gets more complicated. But if it's a month, I think they can do it. And again, everything shifts, so, you know, we've had our black hole here in the summer. We're going to have our black hole in the spring and summer of 2020, and maybe we make up for it in the, you know, the late winter of 2021.
I don't want to lose games. So, you know, if pushing it back means you're risking losing some of those weeks, then forget about it. Plow ahead. But if you just want to have an October through March calendar instead of a September through February calendar, fine. No problem. I'll take it. In fact, I think it's probably better. Clear the decks from hockey, basketball, who knows, baseball too. And then you get to the NFL. And I think we're all fine there. And you know, in the meantime, you have the NHL and NBA off seasons, which are great in their own right, right in the fall, right in the middle. Like, that's a great little filler there between football games during the week. So I like the way that all works out. Real quick, as Murray's been reporting in his updates here, the NFL has tabled the new onside kick variance, if you will, the 4th and 15 option from your own 25 instead of an onside kick. It's been tabled, which means they're going to pick it up at a later date, but it was voted down. What they did is, just ring Tom Pelissero here of NFL Media, before they went to a formal vote on it, they first asked for a show of hands. So they went to a quick show of hands to see if they were generally in the neighborhood of it getting passed. It wasn't close on the show of hands. And I guess it's like a Zoom show of hands. You know, everyone puts their hand up to their computer, I guess. I don't know. It was an informal show of hands that showed the proposal would not have passed. So they didn't even vote on it. So it was voted down. It was tabled, but they really put it to an informal vote. And I don't know why optically they felt the need to do it that way, but they did.
Yeah, and I find something telling here. So I'm reading also from Tom Pelissero, who said Rich McKay, who's part of the Falcons organization, there's definitely the theory that you don't want to make the comeback too easy. And I read that, and the first thing I think of is this is like Patrick Mahomes is who they're thinking of.
Definitely.
Quarterbacks like him, 4th and 15, he could do that with his eyes closed with that offense.
Too big of an advantage for the teams with a quarterback.
Yeah. So, I mean, while I was for it and I would think it would make it more entertaining, I get it. You know, with the way that the game is played now, and it certainly, you know, it benefits the quarterback and the offense far more than the defense. With QBs like Patrick Mahomes, 4th and 15 is kind of nothing.
Would you ever go for it with Brian Hoyer?
No, please.
God, no.
I don't care how
yeah,
much you're down.
Fourth and a billion.
Yeah, you were draw play. So maybe it was just too quarterback dependent. I'm glad. I'm still holding on to some semblance of the kicking game. because I just like that variety in the game, and not that I want to, you know, it's not a third of the game like Belichick says, but it's at least it's a tenth of the game, and I want to preserve that tenth. And I want to figure out if there's a way to get that onside kick just to be a little more viable than it is, whether the kickers improve, you know, they figure it out, or the league just comes a little bit, you know, a little bit back to normal and gives me another guy on that side of the ball or something. I just want to see if we can make that a keep that a kicking game play and not another offensive play. The last thing we need is another play where the shot where the quarterback's in shotgun chucking it all over the field. We have enough of that, right?
Yeah, I like the unpredictable nature of the onside kick. And again, because I go back to that Super Bowl with the Saints and the Colts, and I know I said this the other day, but an onside kick can also be a strategic or a tactical play. Not that it's done all that frequently, but if it's done in the middle of a game, not to mention even at the end of a game, you'd say, well, you line up in a kickoff formation. They could be kicking it deep. They could be onside kick. Once you declare on that 4th and 15, everybody knows you're going for it.
Right.
So to me, you take away the whole element of surprise. And look, again, maybe they trim the distance a little. Maybe the ball doesn't have to travel the 10 yards. Maybe it travels 7. Maybe it travels 5. Whatever it is, and you don't allow the run-up, so you minimize the impact of the collision. But to me, I like the unpredictable nature of it. You don't know when it's coming, if it's coming. And so, to me, once you start making it predictable, well, now they're going to go for it to keep possession. Well, what fun is that?
Okay, folks, you can weigh in on this. You can weigh in on the return of the NFL. You want that schedule pushback? You can weigh in on the return of the NHL and where that leaves the Bruins. We hit on that. And the topic of the day, do you want baseball back? Do you even want that sport to come back? To your calls on all of it right after these words.
Yeah, you'd like more length, wouldn't you?
I need it.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for.
Ooh, boo.
It's Felger and Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
What isn't in much doubt, at least from the NFL's perspective, is that they will play their games, whether it's in front of fans or no fans. Dolphins owner Stephen Ross was on CNBC's Squawk Box yesterday. Here's Ross expressing his belief that the NFL will indeed proceed.
I think there definitely will be a football season this year. The real question is, will there be fans in the stadiums? I think right now today we're planning on having fans in the stadiums.
And again, the plan is to have fans in the stadiums. The question is, how many fans will be there? I know that at Hard Rock Stadium, where the Dolphins play, there's been some contemplation of a reduced capacity. But again, that's all to be seen. They're going to play the games. At least that's the message that has consistently come from the NFL. They have never wavered on that. One way or the other, they're getting these games in. There's too much money at stake, and they believe that by the time we get to September, the testing will be at a point where it's not easy. It's going to be a major inconvenience for everyone to be tested constantly, but there's a way to do it to properly screen the players, the coaches, everyone before they come into a facility. And I think they're going to have to do it every day they show up for work to make sure they're not positive for the coronavirus. And they believe they're going to get it done, Chris. And I've seen nothing from the NFL, from management, yeah, from the teams to suggest any crack, any wavering, any suggestion that this just isn't going to work. They are determined to make it happen.
Question is it a regular start time, September 10th, September 13th for the Patriots? Here's another thing to consider. They are cutting it close with training camp. you know, usually training camp starts third week of July, right? And that's when, well, these other leagues now are going to start their training camps the first week of July. So if the NHL, NBA come back, if baseball, you know, gets its act together and comes back and they're playing in July, then okay. But, you know, there's some thought about the NBA not even being ready on the floor until August or, you know, whatever. If and so that also means no off-season camps, right? Straight to full training camp end of July. What if that gets pushed back? All right. And what about the preseason? You think they'll be playing preseason games?
I mean, according to the L.A. Rams, they're going to be playing them. They announced yesterday, you know, we're opening that stadium. It'll be ready to go. And our first preseason game, we're selling tickets to. We'll give you a refund in case we, you know, the pandemic is out of control. We can't make it happen. But for right now, we're playing.
So first we go August preseason games. Does that feel like it's in the on the table?
Probably not.
Yeah, that feel, you know, the only thing is, as soon as you start to introduce giving people money back for the preseason games, then the owners are going to want to play them. Like, you know, because we all know that it's part of the season ticket pack, right? You get 10 home games. Two of them are in the preseason, at least for the time being. Right. That'll all change a year from now. But, you know, if they have to give money back, they're not going to want to do that.
All right. So we continue with your thoughts. Bob in Rhode Island. Hi, Bob.
Hey, how you doing? I was just listening to you guys about the season, you know, the football season, maybe ending, you know, pushing it back, maybe ending in March. And I was wondering if you guys, first thing that came to my mind was healing after the season of injuries. Have you thought about that at all? Do you think that's going to be a problem?
Yeah, they're going to have a month less to heal.
Yeah, that could be big.
Well,
that could be big.
Well, but it could be, Bob, but what are you going to do? It's the apocalypse. Nothing is normal. Nothing's on schedule. Everything has to change and adjust. Everything. So instead of getting, you know, whatever it is, 5 months to recoup, you're going to get four. And you're just going to have to deal. Like, that's what else are you going to do? It's the pandemic. And that's just one of the things you're going to have to accept. I think there's room. I think there's wriggle room there. I think there's wriggle room on all these sports. And I think basketball starting in December and finishing in the summer is something they should be considering anyway. I know some owners were in the first place. This is a great, you know, they've been forced to try something they wanted to try anyway. So why not? I think it doesn't work quite as well in hockey, but adjust. So what?
I mean, I'm always amazed when people say, and I say amazed, like people say, well, you're going to have a month less to recover. And the answer is correct.
Yep.
Like again, like we can't change the way we do things. And look, we're all drilled into these routines and the way it's been for a long, long time. And the fact is that all those boundaries and all those lines have been erased, and we're now going to redraw them.
Yep.
And people need to get that drilled into their heads sooner rather than later, because all of it is going to be foreign. It's just that's the way it's going to be for a while.
And the next two Stanley Cups will probably be awarded in early October, and then the next one sometime late July, something like that. That's probably the way it's going to be. And I'm just fine with it. I mean, I'm fine with, not that I want it to be that way permanently, but I'm fine with that versus the alternative. Chris in Cambridge, do you even want baseball to come back, Chris?
Yeah. So I want to thank you guys for hosting the show. It's been a major point of normalcy, and I hope you guys are safe and well and remain through the pandemic. But
likewise.
Oh, you frauds, especially you, Felger, for the last couple of weeks, your entire shtick has been, well, no one's happy, but do what you have to do to get back to work. But then the baseball owners released a proposal that everyone admits is not a good faith effort, but instead a way to break the union, and your collective reaction is, go ahead, screw the players, no one should get back to work, no more baseball. Like, I'm as frustrated by the decline of the game as everyone. I was a huge baseball fan growing up, and I would like the players to be more open-minded too. But the owners using the pandemic as an occasion to do this is exactly the kind of Trojan horse that Maz was ripping on the baseball players for always suspecting. But the owners are proving the players right. And Maz, you owe the player, you owe Gasper an apology for doubting this and for suggesting this these last couple of weeks.
Okay, so first of all, I voted yes in Maz's poll.
I'm not apologizing to Gasper.
Okay, but I want baseball to come back. I do. Now, Maz, you may respond. Trojan horse conversation.
Okay, so look, I heard Beadle mention this on Zolak and Bertrand today, that if the owners all of a sudden caved to the players, then we know the whole thing was a complete sham from the beginning.
Totally.
And you know that whole 50-50 proposal, right?
Yeah, what happened to that?
It's never been made. So further evidence that the owners knew what they were doing, that the players would react, and they would win the PR battle right out of the gate. And so, again, if that's what they were doing, then shame on them. I'm not interested in the PR of it. But I'll stick to this point, and for the pace of play problems, I hold ownership and the commissioner every bit as accountable as the players. That one, to me, is a joint effort. And so if it takes a work stoppage right now to bring back a better product in 2021, I am willing to do it. That is my only point. And again, we can debate the side of whether you're on the players or the owners. And this, if the owners rather end up looking like total frauds and the players are right, then I will have been wrong from the beginning. But on the pace of play thing, I'm not wrong. The players have been pains in the asses on that.
Brutal. And they're both responsible, but I'm sorry, the players are more responsible. The players are more responsible because, and I think you made this point earlier, Maz, the owners, I think, at least acknowledge what is needed and the pushback from fans out there. And Rob Manfred at least says he wants a pitch clock, and, you know, he at least says that. When you ask David Price and the players about it, they say, screw you, I'm going to hold the baseball. So, no, the players, to me, are more resistant to that change than the owners are. But the bigger question is, do you even want the sport back? If baseball never came back this year, would you be upset by it? Do you want baseball back? Chico on the North Shore, you want baseball back?
I really could care less if baseball comes back. I'm a hockey guy at heart, so, you know, like I said, I don't really care. But if they do, they should be working their asses off to come up with something creative to get viewership. But unlike the NHL, MLB doesn't seem to have a creative bone among them. So, you know, talk about living in a bubble.
Okay, but, Chico, I'm going to let you go. Your phone blows there. So, he did have one point there that I did hear that I wanted to weigh in on. I can't remember what he said now.
Go ahead.
You go ahead.
Well, I was going to say his point just at the end there about the lack of creativity, I think, is right. The one game play in, things like that relates to playoff structure, things that we've liked. But in terms of the game on the field, has baseball done anything to really improve the quality of the product?
No.
Anything? Has there been anything that you would really deem to be radical or aggressive?
They would say
aggressive? Nothing.
Replay.
Yeah, nothing. And I would say that's made it worse. So right now, again, the numbers, because I don't know if you're going to ask me again or not, 59.3% of people in this poll that we're taking today have said that they don't want the game back. And over 7,600 people now have replied. And I just think that there is a core fundamental problem in the product of baseball, in the product that has to be fixed. And if it takes the cancellation of the 2020 season, which they can pin on the pandemic if they want, pin it on whatever you want. If it takes that to get the game fixed, I'm for it.
Okay, the two things that have changed in the game, Maz, are replay and taking contact out, right? You know, taking out a second baseman or running into the catcher. Other than that, I can't think of another effing thing that has changed or evolved about the game. And I think both those evolutions are for the worst. You know, replay to me has not, you know, gotten it right more often than not. It hasn't sped up the game, that's for sure. And, I mean, how many, I guess I don't keep track as close as I should, but you know how I feel about replay. I think it's not value add in any sport, and it hasn't been value add in baseball. And the no more contact at second base or at home plate, I think has hurt the game. I think that's helped make the game more vanilla. But there has been nothing done to change the issues that matter most to the game, and that is pace of play and things like this. Every other sport, Maz, every other sport that I can think of, when the game has gotten mucked up, has done things to open it back up. Football,
absolutely.
Football does the best job of it of anyone. You know, football, that competition committee is not the competition committee. They're just there to create points in offense, and they make sure of it. They make sure of it, that points are scored and the game is open, and if defense ever starts creeping back ahead, they make more rule changes to make sure the game moves and points are on the board. So the NFL is the best at it. But hockey's done it too, taking out the red line, reducing goalie pads a little bit. Like, they've done little things like this. They increased the size of the offensive zone, so they've done tweaks to the game to try and improve scoring. And, oh, by the way, it's worked.
Absolutely, it's worked.
Scoring is back up. The NBA, the three-point line's a little old, I know, but when the game ground to a halt in the 90s, they made all sorts of rule changes, hand-checking, things of that nature, opened the game right back up, and the game has completely evolved. Baseball's the only sport that hasn't done anything to address the problems of the viewability of the sport. It's the only one.
Jack. They've done jack It's unbelievable. And in fact, not only have they done jack, they've let what they had deteriorate to the point where it's gotten worse. And so I just think that really the game is completely mucked up, completely bogged down, and they never change a thing. And Mike, to your point about hockey, we're not seeing 8-7 games every night in the NHL. We're seeing maybe a goal more than collectively than we were seeing in the past. I'm not even sure the number's that big. So, but the fact is that the game right now in the NHL, probably better than we've ever seen, the actual hockey.
Yeah,
we can debate the fighting part. The NBA, the game's as entertaining as it's ever been, maybe more so, and the same in the NFL. Baseball, less so. It's the only one.
And Jimmy, when you asked David Price, your game is the only game that's suffering. The games are taking too long. We have to speed up the game. This is a major problem in your sport, in your game. So, David, would you accept a pitch clock? Will you please throw the baseball faster?
I don't care. I'm taking my time.
He says, I don't care. I'm taking my time.
So perfect.
That's baseball. And to the previous caller this hour, that's why some people want the sport to blow up. Here's Murray's update. We're back with more.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
I was talking to Jimmy Stewart about this. They were showing highlights last night of Mike Tyson doing this wrestling spot. Did you see it?
Yeah, at AEW.
So I say wrestling spot, like it was a...
All Elite Wrestling, which is owned by Jaguars owner Tony Khan, and Mike Tyson did an appearance on their pay-per-view on Saturday night, and last night on Wednesday night's Dynamite on TNT, he had an interaction with Chris Jericho.
So, like, but it's one of these things where it's a, you know, fake fight, you know, I don't know what
he comes in
and starts a beef in the ring.
Yeah, so there's a beef in the ring, and they were at each other's throats, and he's ripping his shirt off and screaming and yelling. These guys are all, there's like 20 guys in the ring. They're all yelling and spitting on each other and screaming at each other. And it's like, you know, meanwhile, it's like the NBA, well, what about the babies? And they can't even get in to shoot jumpers. It's just another example of like, we live in the parallel universe in different parts of the country. It's like, what are they doing down there that allows Mike Tyson to get shirtless and in someone's face, spitting all over the guy, you know, and never mind them bleeding into each other in UFC. And in some places, you can't even open up the ring to take a twirl around the ice, I keep saying.
It is. It's like two separate parts of the country here. And I don't know if you've heard this in the headlines, you know, so the marathon has been canceled today. I guess that's not that big of a surprise. But down in Texas, their governor, Greg Abbott, revise their order, because not only professional sports allowed to resume in June, but now they're saying outdoor stadiums will be allowed to host fans up to 25% of their capacity. And Georgia has also joined these other states and said, yeah, you want to have your pro sports teams here, we'll host you.
So, I mean,
San Francisco, by the way, which is one of the harder hit areas, said June 15th, sports are welcome back. No fans in the stands, but the sports teams can play.
Meanwhile, Charlie Baker, Governor Baker, any idea when, you know, when the Celtics, that's a different department. So like
it's running through a different channel.
Oh my God, that's frustrating.
I mean, Walsh just canceled the marathon. We're 100-something days away from it. Says we can't do it for the rest of the year. You're just team lockdown for the rest of the year. Cool.
It's like someone's either way too reckless or way too careful. I mean, I guess we'll find out in time. But just quickly, Tyson, He's in good shape.
He's probably, yeah, he is. He's probably in the best shape he's been in since he stopped fighting. I mean, if you've seen him over the last 20 years, he's bloated. He's way overweight. It's been...
Oh, no, but not now.
Oh, no, he's shredded now. He looks amazing.
53 years old. It's amazing what those wrestling programs can do.
53, huh?
He's going to... You're going to see him in the ring. You're definitely going to see him in a wrestling event. The thing last night was a precursor for him getting in the ring and wrestling. I would not be surprised one bit. And they've already talked about him and Holyfield with a charity event.
Yeah, I would hate that. If he wants to wrestle and do that kind of thing, fine. But don't get back in
Why
box.
Not?
Oh, it'd just be sad.
Oh, well, you know what?
There might
be money to be made
with Tyson Fury.
I was going to say, I would not be surprised one bit if you see Mike Tyson in the ring. I don't know about Tyson Fury, but Deontay Wilder or one of those, you know, how about Ruiz? How about the guy that's like, you know, 80 pounds overweight? And not that he's a bad fighter either, but how old was Foreman when he staged his comeback?
45?
We all laughed at him. We all laughed at George Foreman when he came back. I guess he was 42. And, you know, the next thing you know, he was winning fights and winning the championship.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, so when I say it'd be sad, not so much for Tyson because he's still, I don't know, he still knows what's going on. Have you seen or heard Holyfield here in recent years?
Like, no, he's bad.
Yeah, he's a mess. So that's where I think it would be like, dude, do you need the money that bad? Like, don't get back in the ring. Tyson's an animal. I could live with that, but Holyfield.
You want candidates for the match, and I mean the golfing thing. If Tyson could golf, put him with Mickelson, because I'd love to see him freaking knock Mickelson right on his fat ass if he gives him a bad read on it. What are you doing, Mickelson?
but Foreman at 42 years old, he got a heavyweight shot. He fought Holyfield. I forgot about that. I guess he went the distance and lost. But we all laughed at Foreman when he first started coming back. Like, look at this guy, Butterbean. Like, this is a joke. This is some sort of thing to sell more griddles or whatever. And the next thing you know, he was a heavyweight champion and fighting for the championship. I would not be surprised one bit if 53 is the new 43, Maz. Especially with the way these guys can now train and the advancements in training methods. I would not be surprised one bit if Mike Tyson is in a ring for real at some point. Again, long commercial-free segment. We'll pick up our topics with your calls right after this.
Boston's home for sports. Felger and Mez, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
It's not complaining.
Oh, you're a mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No, 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 no. It's always no.
Felger, Mass. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, let's reset what we started the day with. That was this question about baseball. Big picture question. You know, we've gotten into the weeds like everybody else. The MLBPA going back and forth with the owners. Who do you blame? The owners, the players. Players being their usual arrogant obstruction itself have gotten most of the blame. And I would put more of the blame on them than the owners. The owners are definitely not blameless. But I do blame the players over the owners. The owners float a phony baloney proposal publicly a couple weeks ago about a revenue share. Got the players to say a bunch of stupid stuff and so won that round of PR. But it turned out to be just that PR because when the owners actually sat down to give them a real offer, it had nothing to do with revenue share. It was just a straight cut. And the cut was graded. In other words, the more you made, the more you were cut. And that was also intended to, it was also a PR thing because it kind of split the union where those making the most were asked to take the biggest cut and the rank and file would be affected less. and they hope that drove a wedge into the Players Association. It turns out it did not. Players Association uniformly was galvanized, pissed off by it, and now it's coming out that the Players Association is going to counter by saying no more salary reduction, our full prorated salaries as we agreed to in March, and more games, which is not a give to the owners. By saying we'll play more games, that is not giving the owners anything, because the players are paid again on a prorated basis. So the more they play, the more they make. They want more games. The owners maybe want less when it's all said and done. So the players' upcoming proposal is not really an olive branch. It's not coming closer to the middle. It's coming no closer to the middle than the owners have gotten. So we've gone back and forth on all those details, and we can continue if you want. Max Scherzer said publicly, after discussing the latest developments with the rest of the players, there's no need to engage with MLB in any further compensation reductions. So he's basically echoing what Scott Boras said weeks ago, there'll be no more negotiations. He said, Scherzer did, that we have previously negotiated a pay cut in the version of prorated salaries, and there's no justification to accept a second pay cut based on the current information the union has received. I'm glad to hear other players voicing the same viewpoint and believe MLB's economic strategy would completely change if all documentation were to become public information. So the players are asking the owners to open their books, which I think is their right and is fair, and the owners will never do it because then they'll have to tell us how much they pay Spalding to have a phony baloney job in the organization, or however they're hiding their money or hiding their revenue or hiding their expenses. They'll never open up their books. None of these leagues will. Never mind football. So we've got into the weeds on that. We can continue. But then we just asked a bigger picture question about this. And that is, it doesn't look like they're getting closer. It looks like they're getting farther apart. Doesn't look like they're closing in on a proposal like the other leagues are. Feels like they're drawing their lines in the sand and are becoming more, obstinate by the day, to the point where it might not come back, which led to the question, do you even want it back? Do you care if baseball comes back? Do you want it to shut down? Are you among those who feel the game needs a major reset? It needs to be retooled. It needs to be sped up. It needs, all these problems in the game, that it needs a major reset on the field. And if blowing up a season gets you that reset, will you sacrifice this season to get a new improved game out of it? Do you even want baseball to come back? Maz put it out to his hundreds of thousands of Twitter followers. What are the latest results, Maz?
Okay, so here you go. As of just update seconds ago, 8,196 votes. So if you're watching the simulcast, we even have a little bit of an update. But the bottom line is this. Over 8,000 votes, 59.5% of all people who replied said they don't want baseball back.
Think of that. Sports fans on a sports station replying to a prominent baseball figure in Tony Maz. So those are baseball fans.
The baseball reporter.
The baseball guy in town. One of two or three most prominent baseball voices in this city. Tony Mazzarotti. So his followers are baseball people. Never mind sports fans in general. And we have proven as sports fans to be so horny for sports that we will sit in front of the TV for 5 hours watching retired quarterbacks slap a golf ball around a marshy golf course in Florida. That's right. How hard.
Watch Tom Brady split his pants.
That's how hard up we are for sports, that we will watch in record numbers 4 or 5 hours of what amounted to amateur golf. That's how horny we are for sports. Yet, nearly 60% of you say baseball don't even come back. Think of that. What does that say to you, Maz?
Yeah, and it tells me that people are fed up and they recognize that there's a problem with the game and the game needs fixing. And to me, that's the core issue, is that the game's got major problems that run deep and people are tired of it going the way it has gone. And Mike, to just amplify the point that you made a second ago, I found a story on ESPN from May 4th. Okay, May 4th, 3.5 weeks ago. And it was a small sample size, but ESPN did a study and took a poll among sports fans. How many people want sports to come back, even if the stadiums are empty? Sports in general. 65% said yes. 76% said that they would welcome sports back as long as the players were safe and protected, meaning, that there were significant safeguards put in place. And 88% said that they would watch. 88% said that they would watch. In this poll, 60% of baseball fans are saying they don't want it to come back.
I mean, that is That says a lot. And I, you know, I was wondering about that because, again, we're in the weeds. We're going back and forth. Players, owners, you know, Blake Snell said this and Charlie Blackman said that about spitting. And the owners are doing this and the players are doing that. And I said, do people even care if it comes back? Do people, especially if, folks, in July, August, and September, we are going to have Stanley Cup playoff games, NBA playoff games. We're going to have, well, at least those two things. Are you even going to miss baseball? Do you even care if it comes back, especially in that situation?
I mean, in all honesty, I'm wondering if that all happens, baseball could save itself some serious embarrassment by not playing.
Right.
Because, you know, way back when we had this discussion, we said, wow, this is a real golden opportunity here for baseball. If you know, the NHL and the NBA get suspended or they can't finish their seasons and baseball can jump in that void and get on the field and play and get people's attention and there's a real opportunity there for them to get the stage. Now I think the opposite could be true. Now I think that if they all get back on the field, that baseball could be really embarrassed because no one would watch.
So it says something that we're even in this place to begin with, that we're even, you know, they want training camp, spring training, the resumption of spring training to start June 10th. So that's, you know, whatever, 2 weeks away here, maybe a little less than 2 weeks away. And we're talking about this thing not even coming together about it when it should be the easiest. And if not easy, then at least the closest. Because Maz has made this point many times. It is the sport that features by far the most social distancing of any of these sports we're talking about. I mean, there's hardly any contact between players. Many players can go through a whole baseball game and never get within, well, at bat, I guess, is, you know, different. But, you know, for you're standing in left field, you're standing in right field, you're standing on a pitcher's mound 60 feet, 6 inches, you know, never mind 6 inches or 6 feet. You're 60 feet away from somebody. You're the baseman or 90 feet away from the next baseman, et cetera, et cetera. We all know baseball. And so that features the most social distancing. It's outside, which has become, you know, a big thing and a big thing that we've learned about indoor closed spaces and all of this. The big challenge for basketball. Baseball's all outside, essentially, except for the domes, I know. But so it's outside. It's social distance. You have leagues in Asia that have been up and running now for weeks that you can draw from and take all their, you know, learn what they've done well and learn from their mistakes. And so you've got a template from leagues across the globe. You've got social distancing. You've got outdoor stadiums. And you haven't made a dime yet, like these, you know, unlike these other leagues. So you have the most at stake. So you should easily be the closest. Baseball should be the first one back and should be ahead of all these other leagues. Instead, they're way behind. And that doesn't that say something in and of itself?
It's just it encapsulates the game, really.
Totally. Yeah. No, that's right, Murray. It totally captures everything that baseball has been and all the problems with it, that they're just stuck in a certain time and era, and I don't know that they're ever going to get out of it.
Okay, so that's the question to the people. I'll ask you. We've asked you on Twitter. You can weigh in on Maz's poll, so to speak. But we can hear from you. Do you even want baseball back? To you right after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit HouseOfPossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's HouseOfPossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 luxury bowling lanes, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at apexentertainment.com.